Good afternoon, 12:36 here on your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO Mason City. Jesse Stewart in the KGLO Farm Desk, and it's time now for the Midday Farm Report here on KGLO. And it's a special edition of the Midday Farm Report we're starting up every Friday called KGLO Market Talk. We're going to talk with some of the brightest minds throughout the country as far as agricultural markets are concerned and get the latest information on what's happening with the markets, the weekly trends, monthly trends, etc. And it's a great program we're going to do every Friday here at 12:35 on KGLO. And for our first show, I figured I'd bring on a familiar voice who I've talked with quite a few times before, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson in West Bend, Wisconsin, Brian Doherty. Brian, good to hear from you on Market Talk.
Thank you, Jesse. Kind words, and good to hear from you, too. We've got a long working relationship, so it's my pleasure to be of service.
Well, we're glad to have you on the first edition of this program here, trying something new on KGLO and trying to focus in more on the market trade here on Friday afternoons on the Midday Farm Report and try to provide producers with kind of a outlook of what we've been seeing in the market the past week and maybe looking ahead. Obviously, this is the first week of trading for the new year. We've seen quite a few storylines with outside markets, some trouble there, and we've seen cattle futures kind of dropping. Why don't we start off with some of those headlines? Take a look at cattle futures maybe first, and some of the livestock. We've seen triple digit losses again today at feeder cattle. Maybe can you give us a rundown what we've been seeing there?
I can, and you're right. Triple digit numbers down 290 to 360 currently on the feeder contracts, and the limit lower earlier today. Big down day yesterday, but prior to that, some real volatility. We bottomed, for example, the January feeder contract, Jesse, here in December, on December 17th, 143.20, and before you can hardly snap your fingers, we're, you know, right up to 170. We had a high of 169.57, so very strong comeback, and then a bit of a correction down yesterday. So when you look at something like the feeder market or cattle market, really, really sizzling hot product market in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, in part just maybe beat up in price too far, maybe good disappearance over the holiday season, and then, of course, some less than ideal weather conditions making for some very sloppy feed yards all the way south and just about everywhere that feed yards exist, at least for a while. Now, that weather may have turned a little better, but we're going to look at some cold temperatures here coming up. But a lot of volatility is bottom line in the cattle market. It's been the recipient not only of expectations of increased competing meat supplies, but also struggling with a higher U.S. dollar, as well as struggling with real washouts in other commodities, especially the energy markets, which have really been on the decline. So cattle, we continue to view, you know, recoveries as opportunities to buy puts and start protecting the downside because of the ease at which commodity prices can go lower as of the, you know, the last year or so. They just fall apart very easily.
Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing, it seems, about cattle futures, and maybe you could tell me, tell us, expand more on this. We've seen strong box beef prices here throughout the week. In fact, really strong prices, but obviously there's some things that are not correlating together there.
Well, the thought was they almost went hyperbolic. I mean, it just all of a sudden, you know, we got toward that right before Christmas, and it looked like it was a dead market, and all of a sudden the products started to move up, and they really haven't looked back, and they have just been on fire. So as they push and move, you see some short covering, you see a lot of things out there in the futures market, but the product market, that's just a reflection of the, you know, someone willing to bid those products up. So you're right, sizzling hot market there. And then yesterday we saw that product market move up, and all of a sudden cattle futures are down limit. And so it kind of catches, it even caught me off guard, and I'm usually not surprised. I wasn't expecting that. I thought maybe we'd see almost the opposite, where we were kind of consolidating. We might have a chance to break this thing to the top side, and it didn't occur. Now, one day doesn't make a market. So yesterday we were down hard. Today we've been back and forth. It's the follow through that counts. But yes, certainly some divergence there and some head scratching. But the general thought was in the live market, look, Packers bought a lot of cattle recently, and they're not buying today, and they might be out of the market early next week.
And, you know, looking on the hog market, obviously, have we seen, it seems like maybe a little spillover pressure in hogs from cattle. What have you seen on that side of the livestock end?
Some. I'm going to say not much. Feb hogs were down yesterday, but they continue to hold. They're at 60.22 right now, up 67 on the day. They're holding a just under $7 premium to the lean hog index price. And there's a general bias that they've been well supported. The meat market, or the meat complex, is a general bias that we've worked through some of the heavier cattle, that the hog numbers, those numbers will lighten both slaughter and maybe weights into the first quarter of the year. So hogs have really actually consolidated very well since they had a really hard washout in late October, early November. They haven't made the full recovery. They've only made about a third of it, but they're really consolidating generally well. And if I'm a hog producer, I'm certainly looking at those summer months, which are holding, compared to Feb hogs are holding a $15-16 premium, compared to the index are holding a $23 premium. That's a lot of increase in cash between now and then. So I would certainly be looking at those months to start buying puts or fences, or even run some hedges in, or run sell stops under the market.
Well, before we turn our attention over to the grains, you know, kind of looking ahead, you mentioned the term a little bit of a head scratcher with some of the things we've seen in cattle and hog futures. Moving forward into next week, is there really any way to kind of guess what direction things are going to go for both markets?
The shorter you put your time window trying to guess it, the more you stand a chance of looking kind of silly. And I say that self-directed to me when I looked at the cattle market. On Wednesday night, they were, well in a consolidation pattern. We saw a five dollar jump in choice cuts. And so, you know, looking in the next week, I think I'd probably argue the cattle futures are probably going to try and consolidate and wait further direction for cash. But we step back and look at the bigger picture. The one thing that I want to point out is that, even though I personally don't think there's a lot of reason for cattle prices to go down, they're still in a downtrend. They still have a lot of competing supplies. We still have a high U.S. dollar, and we still have a negative commodity complex. And so I don't want to encourage anyone to take for granted the recoveries we get that it's the beginning of a bull market. I don't feel that we're in that.
Okay, fair enough. We're talking with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson here on KGLO, first edition of Market Talk here during the Midday Farm Report. Brian, let's switch over to the grain market. Look at corn. Corn higher today by about 3 cents, it seems, across the entire range. Maybe we've seen a little bit of commercial buying here throughout the week. Let's talk the corn market and kind of talk about what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, we got some recovery in corn here yesterday and today, I think primarily on just a general recovery prior to, remember, we're trying to consolidate prior to this big report out on Tuesday. That's just a huge report. And so I think you're getting some short covering there. What you got is some strength in the wheat market, though. You got a real strong technical signal yesterday and a bullish key reversal right at the bottom of the market. And then we got follow-through today. You've got some cold weather in the forecast there. You know, Jesse, as I look at these commodities, you've got a collapse in the energy markets this year. You've got a higher U.S. dollar. You've got a lot of negative things out there. But here's the gist of it. We've got a fairly strong known quantity of corn out there, and we've got an end user that's been buying pretty lethargically just as needed. That's typical in big crop years. But we've got an industry that's working below the cost of production. And at some point, you know, that's going to change. Now, what's the catalyst? I don't know, but we've got El Nino that could switch to La Nina. You got cheap prices. So if I'm a grain producer right now, I'm not panicking into this. I'm looking at going, well, it's not what I hoped would happen after the first of the year, but it won't take long for this spring to uncoil and move higher. And I think the market is very assumptive, just assuming we're going to have this continuous big supply of grain. That has never been the case historically. Every year is a new year. Every year has some struggles with it. And it's going to take, again, near ideal conditions in order to maintain or build carryout. Otherwise, we probably narrow that number in. And corn prices, wheat, beans, they may be trying to find their kind of post-harvest lows here before they move higher. And we've got a lot of research that indicates that'll be the case.
You mentioned beans. We're starting to see some early harvest in South America. We know there's a big supply of soybeans out there in the world market as well, whether it's from the U.S. or from South America. Talk about the bean market, kind of what we're seeing today, a little bit higher as well. Any big trends we really need to watch out for here in the bean market as we move forward? I know you kind of alluded to that a little bit here throughout the entire grain complex.
South America is a big, big area when we talk South America. So you've got some conditions that have been hampered this year by dry. You've got some that have been too wet. You kind of put it all together. And you know, if you think about it right now, I think it's the attaché to Brazil or somebody this morning was talking about a 98 million metric ton crop instead of 100 million. And that talk's been out there for a month, about 95 to 100 million. I think what it just says, Jesse, is that if you look carefully at it, every year there's roughly 3 to 5% of the crop that's in rough shape. So if we just kind of apply that to Brazil, it would probably tell us they're not going to get the original amount of 100 million, but we'll see. The market's anticipating big supplies out of there, and now it's just waiting for a confirmation of it. But that confirmation usually doesn't come in January. It probably comes more in that March, April, May window. So I wouldn't be overly pessimistic on beans right now. They have a really strong tendency to move higher over the next 60 days. And we've had good export pace, not as strong as last year. But again, when you have big inventories, you don't expect to see that. And the world has other resources available to it. So I'm not as optimistic as I would be maybe 2 years ago with tighter carryout. But again, we're at a price here that it just doesn't warrant a lot more pressure. I look for the beans to make some recovery here into the midwinter months.
Definitely great insights to think about throughout the entire grain complex and throughout the entire marketplace as well. Brian, before I let you go, anything else that you could think of you want to add here on the program? Anything that's really standing out to you here as we've gone through this first week of the new year with the market trade?
That's a great question. And this is what kind of sticks out at me right now. You've got December corn and next year trading around 382. And we've had in the last few years a pretty tough time getting much rally in the winter to sell, and it seems like we just get up to a level to maybe get started, and then it runs out of gas. Let's make that generalized assumption that we'll get recovery in corn, but it's going to run out of gas at some point. So rather than just trickling a fuel sales, how can you get pretty aggressive in the market? But yet if things take off, if this La Nina pattern develops or we have a weather market and we rally a dollar or two, how do we not get less left in the dust? So I would encourage producers, Jesse, to put a really sharp pencil to what they really want to get out of this market and how to manage it. And I think one way to manage it is look at December corn now. Start buying $3.90, $4, $4.10, $4.20. I really don't care. Start buying those call options now. Get your price orders in to be a pretty aggressive seller between $4.15 and $4.35. So if the market runs up through that area, you've got a 25, 35, 50% of your crop sold for next year, and you've got it covered already. I think the people that prepare the most are going to find out in the long run that they generally succeed the most.
Definitely all great insight. Great to find out the details and catch up with you. Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson. Thank you for being a part of the first KGLO Market Talk, and I know we'll plan to talk with you next month as well here on the program. Thanks so much, Brian.
Yes, sir, Jesse, my pleasure. I guess I'll just throw this in there. You know, I've said a lot today, so if anybody has any questions, they can just call us or call me, 800-334-9779. So there you go.
Definitely. Great. Brian, thanks so much.
You betcha. Thanks, Jesse. Have a good day.
Brian Doherty there, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson here on KGLO Market Talk. The program brought to you by Corporate Farmer in Mason City, your farm accounting firm. Find out what they could do for you at corporatefarmer.com. Definitely reach out to Brian and the folks there at Stuart Peterson. I'll get you that number again one more time here as we get through the rest of this hour here on KGLO. We'll take a look at the markets and where they stand right now and get cash grain prices as well on the way next here on KGLO.